Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Yes,
it takes work to minister.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say it one more time.
it takes work to minister.
Yes,
amen. And you need the disciples to come alongside you to work with you.
That's okay. Right.
So in other words, we're in this thing together. Jesus demonstrated that when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
Remember he gave the great command?
Yeah.
Go.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Therefore,
teach all nations, baptizing in the name of
the Father,
Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so Jesus is still with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to do the work of the ministry.
That's right.
We talked about this last week.
Yes, we did.
And so what we have to understand is that Jesus was doing with his disciples, and he got tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say that again.
Yeah, and it's going to be right in here. He even got a little antsy.
And he got tired.
Amen.
He got tired. And
well, yeah.
But my point is.
Yeah.
Is that there's too few people doing the work.
Amen.
Right.
The faithful few are the ones that get beaten up.
Amen.
And get tired.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's exactly true. When I was studying this scripture, I just touched my heart. One, it's one of my favorites. But I saw it from a different perspective than I had seen it for so many years because
right.
his response when they asked him the question was a response of somebody that's just exhausted.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's like, can't y'all do something without me?
Exactly.
And the Lord just showed it to me in such a different light of
mm-hmm.
the scripture because we have to remember that, yes, Jesus was perfect, but he was also human. And
same
it's
time.
Showing
mm-hmm.
in the scripture our humanness.
Yeah.
And how even in his humanness, the human part came out like, really? I'm
yeah.
tired. Y'all
yeah.
can't handle this little thing.
Come
I got
right.
to handle it all.
Amen.
And that is one of the challenges, particularly of our and our pastors and leaders of the church,
right.
even, not even as the leader of the church, but leaders in organizations
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you're on a body like a youth committee
yeah.
or a women's ministry or the choir, and you're in the lead, but you need everybody to come right. together so it doesn't just wear one person out.
Amen.
Absolutely.
But you always end up, reality is, you always have the faithful few.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, that's funny you bring that up. Last Friday, we went out to preach, and pastor, he's an older gentleman, but he was giving his remarks,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about how pastoring is a thankless job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it sure is.
And that goes back to this, because what we try to get people to understand that, you know, ministry, is, and just like you were saying, it takes hard work,
mm-hmm.
but because you've only got a few folks, it will wear you out.
Yes, it will.
I mean, literally, on Sundays when I get through preaching, after I've left the church and I've gone home, done chauffeured folk home, all I can do is get up, put my feet up, and take a nap.
Amen.
Amen.
And I find that nap sometimes goes into the late
Amen.
Evening.
Amen.
And then I get up and go to bed.
Amen.
It will wear you out.
Amen.
Yeah.
And Jesus was, although he was a spirit, but he was also wrapped in flesh.
Right,
his
right.
flesh
my point.
Mm-hmm. got tired.
And you know, and to follow up with what Pastor G was saying, as I've been around preachers and pastors like all my life, not just my husband, not just you, but in my family,
right.
and even as a child, and what ministers and what preachers and what pastors and even other in the church go through, it's not just a Sunday thing.
Mm-mm.
So, and the higher in your leadership is with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I've been around like our grandfather was,
yeah.
was
yeah.
you know, it's like
great-grandpa.
It was great-grandfather. They were carrying that. So
yeah.
it wasn't even like it was just Sunday, but that weight of caring for the people and ministering to the people and feeling and wanting people to do better and following God's word weighed on them all the time. And it's kind of like what Jesus is going through now. When you
yeah.
when you think about how we studied up to this lesson,
right.
he was working.
Yeah.
And he was tired.
He was tired.
And he went to sleep.
Amen.
And then like, what you sleeping for?
Right, right. but we have to understand that when you get into the word like this, you have to understand it's how important the disciples are.
Amen.
Right.
I think a lot of times people want the leaders to do everything.
Right.
Amen.
But the disciples, he called the disciples to do a work.
Right.
To help him.
And to help him, but I think too many times people don't want to put the work in.
That's right. That's right.
They want
right.
the glory.
And that even goes back into the Old Testament with Moses.
Right.
When God was like, you can't do all this. So that was when officially the office of deacon was created.
Right. Exactly.
For that support, that, you know, recognizing that, yes, Moses is a great leader, but he could not do it all himself. You have to have that support system
mm-hmm.
of like-minded, not people that just want to be seen and heard, but like-minded spiritual people.
Amen. And so let's go back to the word Matthew 8. Let's go back to verse 24. It says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep."
Jesus was asleep.
He was tired.
That
had to be a deep sleep.
Well, if you read all the scriptures before that, he had been doing a lot.
He had ministered, and he was tired. And
he healed
was
the sick.
Amen.
He healed the centurion soldier, the mother-in-law, and he just wanted to sleep.
And when you look at this, you're looking at him. I don't know how the time frame was of when he laid down to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But somebody should be standing watch.
Amen.
And somebody should be able to handle some things.
Amen.
Other than Jesus.
Come
on. Somebody should have said, let him sleep.
We got
let's
this.
Pray.
Amen. Amen.
We
Amen.
Got we trust
let,
God as
let,
well.
Let him get some rest.
Amen.
Right. Keep reading. 23 says,
and verse 25 says, and his disciples came to him and what?
Woke him up.
Saying,
Lord save us.
Lord save us, we perish.
You about to die. You better get up.
Now, I don't know about anybody else, but if I'm tired, I am a crazy somebody when
Come
you wake
home.
Me up. I'm not Jesus.
Amen.
I am not Jesus.
Amen.
Quit.
My wife would tell you.
Leave him alone.
She would tell you.
That's just a deep sleep.
And if I in the afternoon where
somebody.
I take
Amen.
I got like a. I need about 40-minute nap, and if I can't get my 40-minute nap, I will wake up and snap your head off.
Amen.
Pastor Jesus, same
I'm
way.
I'm just letting you know because people don't understand the weight that
That's
you carry.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They don't. They don't understand. They have no idea.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the truth.
Amen.
But it's like they always want instant access.
That's
right.
Instant access.
Mm-hmm.
Instant access. Let me call so and so. Well, let me do so and so. But the thing is, here they are. Jesus, after he's ministered, tired, all he wants to do is lay down and get a few moments of rest
and
sleep.
The situation got a little stormy. And they went and woke him up.
They didn't pray first. They woke him up.
They were still
and they were you can tell they were panicked. Read it again. I love the scriptures.
In verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish.
Isn't that what your children do? Right when you go to sleep. And you just want to say you couldn't take care of that yourself.
Mm-mm.
And the thing is, when he said, Lo, I'm with you always, he's there.
Right.
You think that Jesus, after he done preached and taught and all this stuff, he think that y'all just going to die.
So you got to take care of it right now.
You're sitting here right with him, and you just think that he's going to die. Dr. G, help me out on this.
Well, you know, the only thing, I mean, I'm trying to help the brethren, but, you know, they were early on in the learning part of the ministry.
Okay.
But they had seen enough of his miracles and his power to know that he was somebody great. And he was not going to let them die. But it shows the mentality of mankind, of people, you know. And they mean well, but we get, you know, when we're going through something,
mm-hmm.
don't care what the pastor's been going through. Don't care about what Jesus has been through. Save us. We need to talk. We need you.
And so it goes back to this whole preparation thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be prepared. You got to be
Thank you.
So that when situations, the storm comes,
right.
you're already prepared.
Right.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're already prepared, the storms of life are going to come.
That's right.
But because you put time and preparation
right.
in, you have the ability to endure through the storm.
Mm.
And that's an excellent point, which is what I was going to say as far as endure. Because when the storm comes, you have a choice. You can either panic. You can either panic. And when we panic, that's when our humanness and our flesh kicks in, and we want to handle it that way. Or, like you said, if you establish a relationship with the Lord, you study His Word, you already have a prayer life, it'll hit you. We can do our 10-second rule
yeah.
and say, okay, Lord, the flesh in me is about to rise up, but let me pull on my past virtues. Let me put my trust in you. I know the Scriptures. I know the Word. I know what you've done. And that will help you to weather that storm
yeah.
versus
falling apart. Right.
And panicking,
right.
and Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me,
right.
you know, calling on the Lord, especially if you haven't had a relationship
right.
with Him. And imagine how the Lord feels, like He hadn't heard from you in months.
Uh-oh.
And then something happens, and then all of a sudden, Lord, can you help me out?
And I want to go back to Moses, Dr. G, when he had the Red Sea in front of him, and the mountains on each
mm-hmm.
side, and had Pharaoh at his back. And what did God say? He said, what you got in your hand?
Come on now.
Right?
Come on.
What did He say? He said, stretch it out.
Yeah.
Stretch it.
And see the salvation of the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
They scared, man. We got water here. We got mountains here. We got them in the back. What we going to do now, God? I done bought you out of Egypt.
Uh-huh.
With all these plagues.
Forgot their past victory.
Gave you all of this stuff. Now you sitting with this rod that you got in your hand. What you going to do with it?
Amen.
Stretch it out.
Amen.
And by faith, and watch the salvation of the Lord. And
mm-hmm.
and so the time is not to panic when the storms come.
Right.
But to walk by faith.
Mm.
But like you said, you have to be prepared and in preparation. That's through prayer and studying, not just reading,
mm-hmm.
studying God's word.
So I want to go a little bit deeper into this, Dr. G. Help me with my spiritual mind. So when Jesus was asleep, what exactly do you think He was expecting them to do? What could they have done while He was asleep? What could they have done? What could they have called on while He was there? Just to flip the situation around? He's asleep,
mm-hmm.
but He wants them to respond in faith. What would be the primary thing for them to do without having to wake Him up in faith?
Start praying.
Praying. Like Jesus demonstrated to them, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Right.
The model prayer. He said that's the model
right,
prayer.
Right, that's the prayer.
That's one of the first prayers we learn as children.
Right. And so this is what God is looking for us to do is to be able to connect with Him in prayer. But the thing is not to panic when the situation arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look what He says in verse 26, Matthew 8, verse 26. He says, and He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Right? So he's saying, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. And perfect love casts out all fear. And so if you have this little faith, you're going to be fearful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have faith in God, the one that did all these miracles, man.
They saw it.
Right? But the caveat here is they've never seen Him do this miracle.
Right.
Right.
See, that's where we are.
Right.
Right.
Dr. G, you can help me
right.
out. The thing is, we think that God still doesn't specialize in the things that we call impossible.
Amen.
And so we're not willing to go to him to say, okay, this looks impossible, but God, I know you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to turn the fish in the five loaves in the bread, but I ain't never seen you work on the water, right. So I'm scared.
And we're out here in the ship. Yeah. The waves are coming. It's a storm, and we're going to drown.
So Dr. G, he can do that stuff on land, he's not the God of the sea.
Well, see, just like we said, they were still, they hadn't yet arrived. But they were still in the process of being developed. And Jesus knew this. And that's what's so cool about him, because he knew that this was all part of their growing process.
Yeah.
So he went out into the water. He knew that they were going to follow him. He went on downstairs. So he put them to the test.
And our faith is tested.
Yes, it
Amen.
Does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And so he's saying, you're little faith. If we don't operate in faith, that means we're operating in fear.
Amen.
Right.
I'm gonna say that one more time.
That's what he said.
If we're not operating in faith, we're operating in fear.
Amen.
I think I'm gonna say it one more time. If we're not operating in faith, we're operating in fear.
That's
and the fear
right.
is that God can't handle it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And that is. And then that fear becomes because we're depending on ourselves. And we can't handle it. And it goes back to what you were saying as far as the impossible. Too often when we're faced with the impossible, we want to figure things out logically. Mm. There is no logic with God. God is just God. He is who he is. When he says, I am that I am. Lean not to your own understanding. So instead of trying to understand it, that's when you have to trust him,
mm-hmm.
but you have to communicate.
Yeah.
And instead of just praying,
right.
Again, because they were growing, and that's part of our growth process. That's why we have to go through the storms. That's why we have to go through the storms of life, because then we realize that, you know what, God, after we come through, you did handle it.
Yeah.
You did have this.
Yeah.
And I was feeling like you weren't. And, in fact, the resolution probably would have come sooner had I not stepped in to try to help you out.
Amen.
and that allows us to understand Jesus is true to his word. Even today he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's expecting us to do some work.
Come
right.
on.
He's expecting us to walk in faith.
All right.
He's expecting us to pick up our cross and follow him.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We want to sit back and say, Jesus, I want you to do everything.
Everything.
And I just want to go along for the ride.
Amen. And get
Amen.
The blessing.
Amen. And fit you in.
And fit you in. But he said, greater works, we're going to have to do greater work. Is that what
Amen.
He said?
Yeah.
He said, I go to the Father,
mm-hmm.
but you got to go do some work.
Right.
Church don't do no work.
Mm. Right.
Well, it says in there, faith without works is dead.
Mm.
That's why I said you can say you believe in God, but you have to show.
Talk is cheap.
You have to show your faith.
I mean, basically, we as a church body, we got worship down. We can worship.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we can worship.
Mm-hmm.
We got worship down so good that we get tired of worship.
Mm.
So we worship. Yeah, I'm tired of worship. We done worship real good for three straight Sundays.
Come on now.
I'm not going to worship anymore
this on
this. I'm going to take this one off. But doing the work is something that we pick and choose.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
But here's Jesus in the Part B of verse 26, he said, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm.
Mm.
In other words, they had never seen him do the wind and the water miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Dr. G, they were developing.
Right.
And so this wind and water miracle was something that they were seeing for themselves, but they heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
They heard about the God of Moses and Joshua,
mm-hmm.
that dealt with water. And so, they have this history. Yeah, they're developing, but they have this history. But they just hadn't seen Jesus in the flesh operate this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it became calm, They grew
yes.
at this place.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that's the way we should be. When we've come across wind and wave situations in our lives and we've seen God handle it, like you said, Sheila G., to draw off your past victory, to
mm-hmm.
draw off the the things that God has done before. Mm-hmm. If God can do it in the past,
yeah,
he surely can do it right now.
Yeah, right
because
now.
Dr. G, he's the same God.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost any power.
No, he's
still omnipotent.
Yeah.
He's still omnipresent.
All over the place.
All
powerful.
He's still all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is for us to say, there's nothing that's impossible with God.
That's right.
And to understand, if God be for us, who's going to be against us?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
He's not going to let us drown if he's right there.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. And I love the scripture, too, because before he did his miracle, used the opportunity as a teaching moment.
Yeah.
Because he could have just rose out of his tiredness and just calmed the storm. But first he said to them, why are you afraid? Ye of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
So he sets them up.
Yeah.
Storm's still going on. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, why are you afraid?
And they look,
where's
they look
your faith?
They look at
where's
him talking
faith?
About, what you talking
what
about?
You mean, bro? What you
talking
mean
about?
That?
Jesus? You didn't see that wave over there? What you talking about, Jesus?
And then what does he do? After he puts that in their mind, he just stands up and just rebukes the storm and then the calmness. And that just made it more powerful because he pointed to them. He didn't just fix it, which is what we as parents have to learn too, is we cannot always just fix it for our kids.
That's right.
We got to let them fall.
That's right.
We got to let them bump in the wall. We got to let them touch the fire.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, now that that burned your hand, come over here. I'll take you to the doctor.
Right. Now you're going to bleed till Monday. If it happens on Wednesday, if it happens on weekend, you're going to bleed your mind if it happens on weekend. We ain't going to stand in the hospital emergency room for 8 hours on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're just going to bleed till Monday.
Right.
Monday we take you in.
Right. Or you know, they can ready to go out there and you see that they're trying to be cute, don't want to wear a coat. Okay. It's 30 degrees out there. You're going to catch cold. I'm telling you before it happens. You're going to get sick. You're going to
mm-hmm.
catch cold. What happens?
Go ahead.
They come barking. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? And that's the same thing. He didn't just handle it and take care of it. He used it as a teaching moment
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, you had a little bit of faith, and why are you fearful? Then he calmed the storm, which made
yeah.
it that much more powerful because it showed to them that, ooh, you know what he was like, because he is all powerful.
Right, even when he sleeps.
Mm-hmm. But let me throw something in, because, you know, Shiva G was talking, I thought about the kids. Each generation is worse than the other. And you said something, because now they had the Old Testament scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, each generation has to be shown over
right.
and over again. It's almost, okay, Moses had to go through his thing to believe.
Right.
Now, fast forward all the way up to the time of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They had the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and the same thing with us. You know, our people got the word, but they were too busy.
Right.
We don't have time. But then when something happens and the Lord slows our butts down,
mm-hmm.
then he gets our attention.
Right. Amen.
Then he can speak to us.
Amen.
But we've got to go through that test.
Right.
And it's good to understand that we all have to go through tests.
Yeah.
It's not going to be... Well, it's always going to be smooth sailing.
Mm-mm.
Water, there's no waves.
Not as long as you live in this world.
Sun shining.
Nope.
And because he's Jesus, we'll never have.
Tell that lie.
There's a lie somebody could. No.
Water is clear and perfect.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. No humidity.
You mean you never have a bad day?
Never have a bad day.
Nice. Yeah, okay.
All we had to do is know Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and everything
and life is wonderful.
Was going to be smooth.
Huh. Got it.
There's going to be some tests
yeah.
in the trying
That's
of
right.
your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think I'll say that one more time.
Uh-huh. There's
going to be
times.
Some tests
All right.
and trying of your faith.
Amen. One more time for the Holy Ghost.
There's going to be some tests and trying of your faith.
Amen.
Some of us going through those tests and trials right now.
That's right.
Don't
Amen.
Scream. Somebody get ready. Scream
Come
right
on.
Out
That's
the door.
That's true. That's
mm-hmm.
true.
But the key is Jesus is there with you.
Right.
Amen.
in the boat.
Amen.
And that's where the calm comes from. That's where it says in the scripture where it talks about in the winds, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That's where that peace comes from. That calm, that storm can still be there. Things could, that wind can still be blowing. You still could be facing the challenges of life. But God will give you that peace and that calmness. But he's not going to give it to you unless you let him in.
Go ahead, Sheila G. Go ahead.
Preach.
Good stuff.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Preach. Preach. Amen. No, you're not. Come on.
Tell me some more about that calm. Give me a situation how that calm is.
Well, I mean, a perfect situation is when you're on your job and it's almost like sometimes Satan puts a target on your back so that people will constantly and things will constantly come up against you and come up against you and come up against you.
Amen.
And you could react. You really could.
Mm-hmm.
And you, and a lot of times from a fleshly standpoint, you would be right. But it's not always about being right. I know that we studied that in one of our other lessons. It's not always about being right. That's why Colossians 3 is one of my favorite scriptures.
Amen.
Because when it talks about masters, when you do your work, slaves, when you do your work, you're doing it unto me. Do it as if you're doing it unto me, not unto the Lord. That's what, mm-hmm. because it says you may be acting ignorant. You may be coming up against me, but I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing this to impress you. I'm doing this for the Lord. And as long as I'm doing it, my mindset is to the Lord, I'm not going to let you change me any other way.
Amen.
And that's where that calmness comes in, because you're focused on God and not the situation or the problem or the people that are acting foolish.
Amen. I like that. When you focus on God, amen, you're not focusing on the situation or the circumstance,
mm-hmm.
but you're focused on the one who can do something about
exactly.
the situation.
Exactly.
I think I'll say that again.
Exactly. Come
on. See, when you get to a point where you're no longer focusing on the circumstance,
right.
but you're focusing on the one who can do something about
that's right.
the situation and the circumstance. I think we need to go to the phone lines on that one to let us know what in the world, amen, would you have done without Jesus? Amen. Because of the situation and the circumstance was so dire, but because you were able to focus on Jesus, say that again, because you were able to focus on Jesus, yes. he was able to give you peace
yes.
in
calm.
The midst,
calm
in the midst of the storm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 So that's the question. The question is, Is God, let me rephrase it, Jesus able to still keep you calm in the midst of the storm?
All right.
Still keep you calm. Can Jesus still bring peace and calm in the midst of the storm, in the midst of your storm, storms of life?
Yes, I believe if you know Jesus, that he can definitely keep you calm in the midst of the storm. I know me personally, I have different aspects of my life as far as work, my personal life, my family, even church itself, you know, volunteering in the church and things like that. And I think in each one of those aspects, I think the first and foremost thing that I always do is understand what my role is and understand what it is that my purpose is and what the main goal is. I don't make it about me, but I understand as I say a prayer before I go to work, God, what's my purpose? What is it that I need to be mindful of, things that may come for me? So
amen.
I think when you, before you get into those things, if you kind of get yourself in that frame of mind to say, hey, look, I know today can bring some storms or some minor things can happen, just to kind of program yourself that these things might happen, then you won't get so caught off guard. And the other thing, too, is that once you do the things outside of that, as far as going to church consistently, reading the Bible, you can recognize those storms before you actually realize that you're in the midst of them. So you can say, hey, look, I see this coming now. I already know what I need to do, how I need to prepare. And then sometimes when it hits you and catches you off guard, you can still keep your balance and still kind of flow with it, and it doesn't knock you down. But I think in the midst of the storm, God is basically saying, how are you preparing to deal with the storm? Because I think it doesn't start when the storm starts. It starts before the storm. What are you doing before the preparation, kind of like what people do in those states. They got the little storm shelter. They got everything stocked. They got everything, whatever. That's kind of how we need to be. Have your Bible with you. Have the person you can call if it happens. Know your word of prayer. Know that you can pray anywhere. Know the scripture. Mm-hmm. Know those things. And I think it's the preparation before the storm that kind of helps you, weed your way through the storm. And I think that as long as you take care of the preparation, all the storms that come in life, you should be able to pass those by with flying colors if you keep God in your core and your foundation.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don preaches, son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
With me is because, I've grown a lot, and I now understand the love that God has for me. And I know that he's not going to leave me. And that's where my confidence is, knowing Amen. That he's going to be there no matter what, that anything that I'm going through is not too big or too small for him to take care of.
Amen.
And I always try to understand him by understanding my role as a mother. My love for my children is unconditional, endless, no matter what. I will do anything and everything for them. I will, no matter how tired, no matter how angry, no matter nothing. It doesn't matter. I will do anything at any time of the day, night. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small when it comes to my children. And if I, as a human, can love my children that way, the love that God has for me is even bigger than that. So I know that nothing in this world can touch me because he has me. He's taking care of me. So people that are around me know that I'm kind of like a people pleaser. Like, I love people. I want to take care of them all the time. And I think that is a very sometimes exhausting thing.
Amen.
And sometimes you can get very...
drained.
And discouraged. And,
yep.
And then sometimes you get a little upset. But I always try to remind myself, at least now, that at the end, if no one else is there, he still will be.
Amen.
And that's Amen. Where my peace comes from.
Amen.
Amen. And you can't please everybody. As we were going over in Matthew 8:26, on how the disciples came in, disturbed Jesus for something that with their faith they could have handled it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good example on what I'm about to go to in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him. And I look at it as the inside crew was saying, this is something that we have to believe God is in control of everything. And that being prepared for the storms that come and being prepared when the storms are upon us, that in any case, God is there. He's omnipresent.
Yeah.
We don't have to say, God, you need to go here. He's there already. He's everywhere at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we really believe in our heart down,
mm-hmm.
then we know he's aware of everything that goes on around us. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to call the last four digits of your phone number. Again, the question is, God's greater than your circumstances. Has he shown you that he's greater than your circumstance? So much so that you have peace in the midst of the situation, circumstance, or storm. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 1924. 1924, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I definitely know that God is in control of everything, and that he will give you peace, because there have been many times in my Christian walk that I have had to ask him to give me peace. Things get crazy in life sometimes that sometimes you don't know which way to turn. But if you ask him peace, he will give it to you, because he said it over in, I think it was John chapter 14.
Yeah.
Down on verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." And this is one of my favorite scriptures, because he's telling you he's leaving you his peace. So if he's leaving it for you, then you just need to take advantage of it. And sometimes you just have to just say, "God, just give me peace." It may be a situation where you're expecting it to turn out one way, but God is not, trying to do what you want. He's trying to do what's best for you. And so if you don't understand it, you can just say, "God, I don't understand why things are like this, but just give me peace about it so that I can continue to do your work."
That's right.
That's my comment for tonight.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I know for a fact that God is with me. He's with me in every storm. Sometimes I might get a little shaky, but I'm so glad that God has given me his holy word. He has put praises in my heart. He's put songs in my spirit. And then he allowed me to pull back and look back on the past experiences, how he has made a way for me out of nowhere. And I'm reminded, I'm reading in the song 34, 15, where it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." And when we develop that fellowship and relationship with God, our problem might not be solved right then and there, but God will give us enough faith and enough peace, enough joy, that we can hold on to him until our change comes. Because God is able to keep us. And what reminds me is the blood. When we think about Jesus shedding his blood for us and the value and what we mean to him, he's not going to allow nothing to come in our life and destroy us. And that's all we have. We have his holy word. And once we get that word down in our spirit and pull on that word and trust him in faith and say, "Lord, I know it's not right now. It don't look good. It don't feel good. But if I keep holding on to you, the change is going to come." And so truly believe that God is a strong deliverer.
Yes,
we just continue to hold on to his unchanging hands.
Amen.
For your comments tonight. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 9772. 9772, you're on the air.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you got to know God. You learn it for yourself as we come in as a child. Learn about God. But you never know God until you come in front of him. And when he comes in front of him, the storm hits him, and you be hollering out, Oh, Lord. And when he comes in through that wind and stops the wind from blowing, and the ocean stops blowing, and he puts his hand on you, then you find out who God is. Then you start listening to it and say, "Oh, I know what God is. I heard about it, but I'm learning, but I'm dealing with it every day." And as you keep going along, the Lord just keep on helping you and helping you out, and you see where God is. Now I know who God is, and I just don't know about who I heard of God, but now I know who God is.
Right.
That's where we learn about the human spirit. The flesh is weak, and we learn to deal with Jesus, and Jesus will hold your hand until you come across it. And when I'm doing that, and the way I learned mine all the way to now, and thank God for that, I have learned it for many years, And thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comments tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 7971. 7971, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I know that God can do anything that he says that he can do. And if you've been through as many storms in a lifetime that I have been in, and the impossible happens, it gives you the assurance to know that he keeps his word to you. And
yes,
you have prepared, and by being prepared, it's what we're doing right now, molding together, uniting together to exchange the experiences that we know that he's capable of doing. And when you've experienced him being in the midst of a storm, when I say a storm, I have been through some, and he's never let me down. He gives you the assurance that if you trust him during those trials, if you believe and have the faith that he's going to be there for you, this is what gives you the calmness in storms, the rage in your life when you're not even expecting it. But if you lean on the Heavenly Father and you call on him and he delivers, nobody can change your mind, your thoughts, your anything in your life when the storms are raging. And he steps in. He knows just when to step in, when he knows that you've done everything you can do, and he steps in on time, delivers every time, not one time, but every time.
Everything.
Amen.
You can lay down and say, Lord, I thank you. When you
Amen.
Keep him in your spirit, in your heart, in your soul, every day of your life. He won't let you down. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's not just talking off the top of your head because you heard what somebody said. It's an experience in your life, in your spiritual walk, that you can be so ever grateful to give him the glory for the things that he has done in your storm and calms the seas that have raged in your life that you would think was impossible to just stop them, just to protect you, give you things that you have to sit in a daze. Lord, what and how did it happen? And you know who did it. You know who did it.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Without a shadow of a doubt. God is good.
Amen.
And I love him with all my heart. All I can say,
Amen.
I thank him right now for the storms
God
that he has calmed in my life. And I thank you all
God
for
bless.
The things that give us to know who he is and why he does
God
what
bless.
He does for us. I thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. God
Amen.
Bless.
Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to move to the next caller. And last four digits is 2598. 2598, you are on the air. 2598. You listening in? Right, we're gonna go down. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that. What? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say that that even I think I find this passage of scripture very comforting, and just knowing that God is with me through my storms, and even when I feel like I may be perishing or drowning or can't keep my head above water, I just know that God is with me and that he's greater than any of my circumstances. Just I know that he's able to work it out and that he's in control.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to 7348. 7348, you are on the air.
Good evening. My comment is just that God is definitely bigger than our circumstances, but just like Jesus' presence in the boat with the disciples, The same God today has the ability to speak to the storms in our lives, and when the wind and the waves are crashing, even though he can keep us calm while we're in the midst of the storm, because he is the same God who caused that storm to stop. He's the same God who, when we feel like we're overwhelmed and we feel like the water is overtaking us and the shaking of the boat is too much, that same God can still speak to the wind and the waves in our lives and calm that stormy sea so that it'll be a little smoother sailing as we get through to the other side.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, it's something that you have to know God for yourself.
That's right.
And when you know him for yourself, I know sometimes people use that as a cliche, but when you know God for yourself, there's something about the way you look at things, and you no longer look at it in a way of fearful or hopeless, but you look at it as in a way of hope.
Right, right. So you're right. I mean, once you, you know, when you first come into the body of Christ, it's just like with the disciples, it's a learning and developing. And the longer you stay with him, the more you go through, and he brings you out. I mean, I've been in this thing so long now, I don't worry about anything. I don't have to get upset because I know that the Lord is going to be there. But now I will get tired.
Yeah.
But when it comes to my faith, because I learned on, and I used to change that whole phrase. I used to tell people that if you're going to pray, why worry? And then if you're going to worry, why pray? Because we as humans, we freak out, we get upset, we panic. But the longer you stay with the Lord, the more you're going to go through in your life. I think I heard Vine say, you know, the storms, you're going to have storms of every kind. And if you stand strong with him, if you remain faithful with the Lord will remain faithful with you. That scripture that you said, "Lo, I'm with you always," you know, you've got to take that literally. Because God will be with you every step of the way. But it's a personal relationship. It's a one-on-one between you and the Lord. And really, it's up to you as to how much or how little you want to grow. I mean, the problem with most folk, you know, we make all kinds, we put everything before the Lord. We don't give him time. We don't give him enough of our money. And God knows if we have talent, we want to sit on that. But, you know, we don't want to spend time with him. And as we said in the beginning, you got to work at this thing. God is not going to do everything. Now, he'll be there, but you got to open that door and let him in.
Amen.
But the longer you stay with him, the stronger your faith gets. But the enemy also turns up his attack. And that's your test. But God is not going away. It's on us to take what we've learned and go with it. You know, we were talking about it in the beginning, and I take that same thing to work every day because I understand that I'm a representative of Christ. And you know, folk come, they disturb me when I'm at lunch, but you got to stop. You keep a smile on your face. You're going to do what you got to do. You may want to cuss about, but you can't. Can't say those things that you're thinking.
Right.
So you go and you be the best that you can to the glory of God. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change because you're in the secular. But you got to bring it all in. And when I go to work, you know, I'm confident that the Lord is going to be there. It starts even before I leave home because I've got to make sure that I'm right with the Lord through prayer.
Amen.
So, and all along, Lord, let thy will be done in my life.
That's right.
Amen. Sheila G?
You know, I have my meditation time when I first get up in the morning, but even once I get to work, before I walk in the door, and I've done this for years, I always say, "Lead, guide, direct my path." And the last thing I say is, "Keep me from evil." Because I know that evil is always lurking around. And I want to be prepared so that I want him to be my pilot. I'll be the co-pilot. I want him to be my pilot so that when it does come up against me, I've already called on him and already asked him to keep me from preparation. And I got that from reading the studying the prayer of Jabez when he was saying that keep me from evil. And you know, he says in his word all, you know, like deliver us from evil and like that model prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that model prayer covers everything.
And the bottom line is in this section, basically when Jesus is presented in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, it presents Jesus as king.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And now it's presenting him as the king with the power over everything.
Amen.
And because he's king of kings and lord of lords, that means there's nothing that's greater than him. There's nothing that's more powerful than him. And that's who the Jews needed to hear was the Messiah, that he is the Messiah, that he is the promised one,
mm-hmm.
that he is the Christ. And today he hasn't changed. And so that's who is in our corner. That's who is our Savior. That's who is our deliverer. We have to have that faith and confidence in him, not in anything of man, but in him. And when we have that, then we know that our whatever the situation we find ourselves in, he's able to handle.
Amen.
This is an awesome lesson. We just need to hide it in our hearts and meditate on it. And these things come about every day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say, yeah, it might be looking big and ugly, but it's not too big and ugly for God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's great about the final scripture is that they did recognize his power and they acknowledged him.
Yep. And that's when he said, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
And that's where, like Pastor G was saying, they had to grow.
Yeah.
And that's where they grew so that the next time they would know, okay, you know what, I got to rely on my faith because Jesus knew there was going to be a time that he was not going to be there.
There you go.
And so they had to be able to carry forward.
And that's where we are. We have to understand that the physical presence, but the spiritual presence is there.
Mm-hmm.
He's with us, but he went away in the physical body.
Right.
I told you about the spirit and spiritual battle. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Sheila G, you have any last comments and close us out in prayer?
I thank the Lord for continuing to be there with each and every one of us through our storms. And the last thing I want to say is don't focus on the circumstance. Focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for another awesome lesson, allowing us to kind of just not just read your word, but truly study your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit revealing things to us that we need to continue to stay focused on you, Lord. And right now, we bind any demons that want to make our circumstances overcome us, and we lose love, we lose peace, we lose that calmness of Jesus. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully we'll hear you on next Thursday night.